Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation here tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call this evening, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here with us this evening, and we'd love to hear from you tonight. And we're going to get into a couple of things here. We know we got some callers, and we got callers calling in already, so we got our phone lighting up there, so we're glad for that. But let's go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity that we had to be on the air tonight. Just pray that you would bless the program this evening. Pray that you would use it for your glory here tonight. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight through the things that we talk about. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ through it all. And again, that we could use this for a benefit. Be a blessing and help and encouragement to somebody tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight. And I don't know if you were, depending on where you were, a couple of good rain showers came through northeastern Ohio here today. We were just concluding our church service today and had just finished the message, prayed. We were singing a closing song and a big flash of lightning followed by long sort of drawn out rumbly boom, and we were thinking that we should have had the song Till the Storm Passes By, which our song leader actually had scheduled for tonight's service. Well, we didn't get a repeat of the rain and the storm during the evening service. It was quite nice in the evening, actually, but it was just kind of neat to timing there right at the end. But rain, it was good. Have a little bit of rain, but if you got caught under it, it was a heavy shower where it came through. Then it let up. A few minutes later, it's back again. But we always need a little rain. All right. Well, again, I want to remind you, I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We're located at 5171 Brecksville Road. We'll have more information about that. You're not going to find a church building there. What you'll find instead is a hotel, because we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. We're there every Friday at 7 o'clock. We have an informal Bible study where you bring the topics there, and much like we do on the radio, your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, and it's informal. We have refreshments and things like that. Certainly invite you to come out and visit us there if you don't have anything to do on Friday night. And then, of course, we have our services there in the same room on Sundays. We have a morning service at 11 o'clock where I'm currently preaching through the book of Titus. And then on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And then, of course, we have our regular radio programs, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, which you're listening to right now. And then in addition to that, of course, we have our program on Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, shorter program. It's not a shortened version of this one. It's its own program. Sometimes we tend to have more guests on Friday, and certainly I want to congratulate one of our recent guests. We had Laverne Gore, who was running for the Republican nomination in Ohio's 11th Congressional District. Marsha Fudge, who was the representative, is now the HUD secretary. And so the 11th Congressional District is currently without a representative. And on this past Tuesday, there was a special election. And the Democrats selected Chantel Brown from a field of, I think, about a dozen different people. And the Republicans selected Laverne Gore from a field of two. And so congratulate Laverne Gore on her win this past Tuesday. And, of course, she will be in the general election running against Chantel Brown on the in November, the November election. I was going to say November 3rd, but I'm not sure that's the whole the exact date. But it's in November. We'll be talking about that as we get closer to that. So, and do pray for the elections that are coming up this November. And there's going to be a number of things and a number of locations that are going to be important. And so keep apprised of what's going to be on the ballot locally where you're at. You can always contact your local Board of Elections in the county that you're in, or you can contact the Ohio Secretary of State's office. You can find out all that information online very easily. So, again, thanks to everybody who went out and voted. Congratulations to Laverne Gore. All right, we're going to get into our program here a little bit more. Again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. And we have Neil calling in tonight. Neil, welcome to the program this evening.
Hi, Pastor Al. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for calling.
I know what you're going to be talking about later, so I've been doing research and thinking about things. But, well, maybe you'd like to introduce it and then
well,
I'll make a comment.
All right. And for our listeners, Neil is actually talking about something that we talked about after church this evening. If I'm on the right subject, or are you talking about the handout or the chart?
The handout.
All right. That's what I thought. I had to make sure because there are two things that I had. One was a chart. The other is a handout. We had a handout that somebody brought a couple copies, passed around our Friday night Bible study. I don't know where they came from or who left them. Actually, I didn't even see them until after the Bible study, and most everybody was gone, and saw one laying there, or somebody handed it to me, asked what it was about. It was a handout that's cobbled together. It looks like it comes from three or four sources at least, as well as the person that put together annotated a few things on here. And the first two pages of the handout, there's actually five pages. The first two pages in particular dealt with coronavirus vaccine, or whatever you want to call it, claiming that the vaccine consists mostly of graphene oxide. Graphene oxide, of course, is a is carbon and oxygen. That's basically what it is. And carbon is the most one of the most common elements that you'll find inside of the human body. And of course, oxygen. That doesn't mean that just because they're together, they're not dangerous or that they're beneficial. It just means that these are two common elements, carbon and oxygen, that are combined together in this chemical form let's see, I'm trying to think. I had it right here, graphitic oxide is what it used to be called, or graphene oxide. And Neil, is this what you were looking at?
Oh, yes.
And you had learned a little bit about it. I was reading about it a little bit myself evening.
One of the things they claimed there is that the supposed the SARS-CoV infections is actually graphene.
But, yeah, it's a reaction to the graphene triggered by 5G transmissions.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why this can't possibly be the case. One, if there was more than the slightest trace amounts of graphene in the vaccines would not be clear.
That's true because this would make I believe it's a yellowy compound, or it's more than just a clear yellow, like a light yellow. It's a darker yellow.
And other formulations of graphene would actually be brown or black.
Yeah, and I was going to say for our listeners, graphite is a form of carbon, which is your pencil lead. If you write with a pencil, you're using graphite. And graphene is another form. And then, of course, combined with the oxygen, and you get graphene oxide.
And the other thing is, if the infections, people are getting sick and have died. I mean, it's mainly those that are older and with comorbidities, but I mean, they would not be treatable with ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine and zinc.
It's correct.
It's graphene.
Right.
And if we see that those are helpful in, getting people well quickly.
Exactly. And even in my own experience, having had COVID and being hospitalized with it, I was treated with remdesivir. And remdesivir is not a treatment to remove graphene or graphene oxide from your body. It's a treatment that's designed to help you fight off a virus.
And then they claim that this thing would be affected by radio frequencies, but there's no way radio frequencies would be high enough to actually allow this to be manipulated. So there's just so many things that are absolutely wrong about just even the first page.
Right. And, and there's a couple of things. You brought up the radio frequencies. I remember early in 2000, I think it was back in late February, early March, when we were hearing about these things. And I remember we were talking at church at our Friday night Bible study after church on Sunday about the huge number of people that apparently died in China. And we were hearing about the reports out of China where whole areas, the pollution was decreased because factories were shut down. People were not on the roads in their automobiles. And they were actually sealing up apartment buildings where they believed that people were infected with the COVID or coronavirus. And then this makes a statement. Let me just read the statement here. The Wuhan area had mass vaccinations, then the 5G grid activated, then rapid deaths. But I think they've got this twisted around because people were dying before the mass vaccinations. In fact, the military games that were there in, I believe it was November of 2019, we had people who were not vaccinated for anything, who were coming down with a mysterious flu-like illness in Wuhan, and then these people then left and they traveled back to the various countries where they were at. Doctors in this country, before there was any vaccine available, were having people who came in with flu-like symptoms. They were testing them for flu. They did not have the flu. They didn't know what it was. And so they treated them, basically treated the symptoms, said to go home, get rest, and drink plenty of fluids, the typical thing that you would say for the flu. And the people were getting better. And part of the reason people were getting better is because since the onset of this, even using the CDC's inflated numbers, 99.6% of the people who get infected with the coronavirus survive. And so this idea that people had mass vaccinations, they were injected with graphene oxide, and then they triggered it with a 5G radio broadcast to develop these symptoms, and that prompted the pandemic and rapid onset of death is just factually not true, right?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, all the stuff that's put in there that just doesn't make sense.
Well, and another area, too, is the idea that people are becoming magnetic. And this is just, it's pathetic, not to treat it lightly, but we had a registered nurse down in Columbus at the State House saying, "Why is this stuff sticking to me?" as she's holding stuff to her body and it keeps falling off. Now, what she's talking about is not magnetism, it's adhesion. And again, let me share something from this article here. It's talking about people who supposedly vast numbers of people becoming magnetic. I had it marked here, and now, of course, when I go looking for the mark, I can't find it. It had a big red mark on it here. But the idea was that the graphene oxide inside of your body becomes, it causes you to become magnetized. And the problem with this is that they were stating that things were sticking, and you can and you can watch these online. You can go online. I did it myself. I've never had a vaccine for this. Don't intend to. Have no need to. But I can take a penny and I can stick it to the side of my face, and it'll stay there. I can stick it to the back of my hand, and it'll stay there. I can stick it
but
to
it's
my
not
arm.
Magnetism.
No, it's adhesion because of the water, the moisture. When I was a kid back in grade school, we thought it was great fun to take a stainless steel spoon, breathe on it so it had a little moisture on it, and stick it on your nose and watch it hang there on your nose. A lot of kids did that. Not magnetic. In fact, they go on and they make the statement in this that stainless steel spoons are sticking to people and stainless steel is not magnetic. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, I'm reading this, and I looked across the room and there's my refrigerator. My refrigerator is stainless steel. And as I'm looking at it, I'm reading this line that says spoons shouldn't get stuck because we're talking about stainless steel and it does not have magnetism. And I'm looking at my stainless steel refrigerator that's got all kinds of magnets stuck to it. Now,
the bottom of the first page, the beginning of the second page.
Yeah, the beginning of the second page. I found it there and I had my thumb over it when I was turning through the pages. But what I was going to say is if you are the one that's magnetic, then the stainless steel should stick to you, just like my magnet sticks to my stainless steel refrigerator. But here's the thing. When I stuck the penny to the side of my face or the side of my arm or my jaw or something like that, it's stuck there because pennies are made of what? Zinc, right?
Nowadays.
Yeah, and zinc is not magnetic either. You can't pick up a zinc penny with a magnet.
And the old pennies were copper, and that's not magnetic.
And you're not going to pick up a copper penny with a magnet either. But if you stick a copper penny or a zinc penny or a stainless steel spoon on your face, it'll stick there because of water causing adhesion, and that's what's going on there. So sure, you're going to get stuff stuck to you. But here's the thing, though, that and you and I both saw this in action. A compass needle, if you're truly magnetic, and you bring a compass near somebody that's magnetic, the compass needle is going to shoot right over to them, isn't it?
Well,
I mean, and that makes sense, right? If you take a compass needle by a magnet, the needle shoots over to the magnet.
Yep.
Well, how come when somebody that's been that's received this vaccine that supposedly has become magnetic, when you bring a compass by them, the needle doesn't move? It's because they're not magnetic. This is nonsense. This makes good people look like fools. I know some people are going to be upset hearing this, but this has to stop. I mean, I am not in favor of the vaccine. I don't think 99% of the people getting the vaccine should have the vaccine. There are some people that perhaps if your doctor or you agree that you should have it, that's fine. But there should be no government mandate for this. It's an experimental vaccine, and there's no need to be forcing an experimental vaccine on people when there's only a 0.4% mortality rate for people who get the virus. And that, generally speaking, and this is where our other chart came in, most of the people who died from the virus have been over 75 years old. In fact, if you look at 65 to and up, that accounts for probably over 90% of the deaths from the virus.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at people below 65, especially when you get into the younger years, below 50, below 40, almost no deaths, and this is going all the way back to the peak times of the pandemic, and over the entire course of this, in the United States of America, the number of people under the age of 18 that have died from this is just a little over 500. Not 500,000, not 500, or I mean 5,500, but 500, 500. Actually, a little bit more. I forget how many more, but not much. Less than 550, I believe it was. And so why are we forcing this experimental vaccine, which may or may not work and may or may not have serious side effects, on people that don't need it?
There's good reasons to object to it without resorting to fables and fairy tales.
Exactly. And I'm afraid, just like several atheists have been responsible for the resurgence of flat earth theory online and have sucked a bunch of gullible Christians into it and made them look like fools, we've got some people out there that are making Christians look like fools.
Yeah.
And I know this is not something that people want to hear, but it is important. You know, we were just in Titus chapter 1 this morning at church, and we were talking about how Paul warned Titus. He said, for there are many unruly, this is Titus 1 verse 10, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. And so many people do get caught up in it, and they're genuinely sincere, but there are some people who are making a lot of money off from this. And on both sides of the issue, I might add, and I'm not trying to single out people who are against the vaccine, because I am against the vaccine. And I know you are too.
Yes, and some people that propagate this without understanding, they somehow they imagine that they know something that other people don't, and it gives them some cachet or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure I understand the attraction, but...
Well, and looking at the way viruses work and vaccines, all this stuff, it is difficult, and it's hard to understand sometimes. But let me share something else that's unfortunate with this. We've been talking about the graphene oxide and is it or isn't it, and then to try and say that there is no such thing as a coronavirus. They've been studying coronaviruses for years. SARS is a coronavirus. MERS is a coronavirus. In fact, they've shown that to people that have had COVID, such as myself, have an immunity that actually grants you some immunity to some of the SARS viruses now. And they're in the same family, just like there's, different types of influenza viruses. But I wanted to share something else that's dangerous, because graphene oxide has a hexagonal structure, because it's based on the carbon ring. And the carbon ring, if anybody's ever taken organic chemistry, I had to take organic chemistry back at Colorado State in the early 80s. I didn't like organic chemistry. I should have enjoyed it more, but I didn't put myself to the, into the books as much as I should have. I was too interested in doing some other things and not studying my organic chemistry homework as I should have been. But one of the things about organic chemistry, it revolves around the carbon ring. And the carbon ring has to do with the number of bonds that the carbon atom has. And I'm not going to get into all of that, but it forms a hexagonal ring. And they're saying that the hexagonal ring is written on there is the hexagon and the hexagram. The hexagon would be the six-sided shape, and the hexagram would be what you get if you draw lines between them, and it gives you a six-pointed star. As opposed to the pentagon, which is a five-pointed star, or the pentagram, I'm sorry. The pentagon would be a five-sided structure. And it's like the honeycomb of a bee. And it has a statement on here that the hexagram and the hexagon are antichrist symbols. And the thing that I find a little disturbing there is when you follow some of this out, it doesn't come out and say it, but it almost begins to imply a certain amount of anti-Semitism because of the Star of David being put on here. But this then leads into a discussion of the triangle, and the triangle comes from the Greek letter delta, which is the fourth letter in the Greek alphabet, and correspond to the fourth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is Dalet. And they're saying that this is that represents the doorway. Well, indeed it does in the Hebrew, the original symbol that became that letter, which later became eventually our letter D, was a symbol for a doorway. And so the triangle was believed, he's got a piece in here that says, was it believed in body or represent a composite of three separate gods and or goddesses being brought down into the geographical realm. It's not clear here whether the person saying this is opposed to teaching on the Trinity of the Godhead, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it talks about this, and it also brings in the Egyptian hieroglyphic of the fish, which trying to go through a bunch of things in here, which gets shortened down to the triangle and all, and kind of concerned about what that means when the early Christians used the symbol of the fish. But it basically gives this idea that you're opening up a doorway to knowledge, and then comes the page that says that this knowledge is the doorway back to Eden, where we had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil belonged only to God. Well, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we find in Genesis, was placed in the Garden of Eden for a distinct reason. In Genesis chapter 2, God says to Adam, in verse number 9, out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 17, he says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, why did God put this in the middle of the garden, tell them not to eat of it? Well, Adam and Eve understood good personally, because they were good. They were without sin. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was there to give them an opportunity to choose to obey God or to choose to disobey God. And when they ate the forbidden fruit, they chose to disobey God, and the disobedience of God is not good. The lack of goodness is evil, the definition of evil. And so they now know good and evil. What's that?
The command not to eat of it was for their own protection.
Right. But it was also to challenge them to use their free will that God created them with to choose to freely love, honor, and obey God. But they chose to disobey God, and it was by one man, the Bible says, entered into the world, and death by sin. That was because Adam made the choice. He saw that Eve had been deluded, you know, tricked into eating the fruit. The devil beguiled her, the Bible says, and she ate the forbidden fruit, and then she held it out to Adam, and he made a distinct choice. Will I remain true to God, or will I not be true to God and disobey God and eat the fruit that Eve ate? And he chose directly to disobey God, and so Adam now had knowledge of evil because for the first time he did something contrary to God's will. And this was the freedom of choice that he had. And so this idea that it only belonged to God, that why did he put it in the center of the Garden of Eden then? So, but then they go on to teach that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil had three pillars, and the three pillars represented the satanic trinity. And then the final page, which is very concerning, I tried to look up some of this stuff, some of these source materials, and I wasn't clear whether the guy was endorsing this or just warning this on this particular thing. I hear the music coming. We have a break coming up. But it introduces pure occultism, the Kundalini force that's described as a serpent force coiled at the base of the spine. And Neil, if you can hold over, we'll continue this on the second half of the program. Stay tuned, we got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I encourage you to check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you're trying to find us on YouTube tonight, we don't have a YouTube broadcast going on. Lately, we've had nothing but trouble on Sunday nights with our YouTube broadcast, and I do have a link up where you can go to the radio station if you have trouble listening to us on the air. You can find us online on the radio at, what is it, whkwradio.com or thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com, and there's a listen live link there, and I've got that posted on several of our social media sites. But I was going to say you can listen live online there too through the listen live function, and then there's podcasts there, and you can also listen to past programs as well at livewithpastoral.com. Also, a reminder brought to you tonight not only by Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor in Richfield, but East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And you can let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. And it's a great pizza. You'll enjoy it. I'm sure you'll love it. And you can find them right there in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights. All right, we're going to get back to our program. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. I've got Neil still on the line. We were talking about some information that's circulating regarding the coronavirus vaccines and different things like that. We were talking about, as we went into the break, a troubling linkage from the form of the graphene oxide in a hexagonal shape, moving into the idea of a doorway being opened and back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then this handout that we were given, again, don't know where exactly it's from, but somebody asked me about it, so we're talking about it. And it presents, and I hope it's just for information, but the way it's presented without any warning suggests that this is being taught as what the COVID or the vaccine or the graphene oxide or whatever you're looking at leads to, activating the Kundalini force, which is the belief that there is this serpent type thing that's coiled at the base of your spine. It's a vital force that's there. You can see people talk about it in other settings. For instance, in yoga, you're aligning your body with these things. In fact, there's a type of yoga that's devoted to this, and other forms in the martial arts, the ki and the different things that's used, the force that's summoned. You can see it even finding its way into popular programming. If you remember the Stargate series, you had the Gauld, which were a serpent type being that coiled around the spine, and they were able to control you and awaken you to give you powers beyond that of normal people, knowledge and strength beyond that of normal people, the ability to heal beyond that of what normal people would experience. And it was loosely, really, I'm convinced, based on this idea of the Kundalini force. And this comes out of India, of course, and it's supposed to be a life force. Pranic energy is another thing. Ki, as I said before, bioenergy. This type of field, the chakra points, if you've ever heard of that, or you've ever seen where people have crystals placed on certain parts to align these forces, and Kundalini awakening triggers a wide range of phenomena, some positive, some negative, but it brings you to a higher level of consciousness and ability. And in this handout, it talks about it and talks about the awakening of the third eye, which is rich in occult literature, the third eye being the pineal gland, which gives you supernatural insight beyond normal sight. And basically, this whole thing about Kundalini energy and the Kundalini force and the pineal gland, the third eye, that is activated through Kundalini yoga and other types of things, this is occultism. This is demonic. This is presented without warning, and this is something that needs to be spoken of, because some people will look at this and they'll be intrigued with this forces, and they'll think it has something to do with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they'll this is a way of leading people in. And I'm not saying that was the intent. This may have just been added in here for informational purposes, and to try and warn of spiritual danger. But we have to be careful with these things. And this whole concept here that's presented on this last page's handout that we were talking about is a very demonic concept that is used widely in the New Age and many Eastern religions. And Neil, are you still with us there?
Yes, and the devil will promote anything that draws you away from God.
And that's my concern, is that well-meaning people, even Christians, remember the Bible talks about the devil as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and if he could, he would even lead away Christians into false teaching. And this is dangerous, that it starts interesting people in the occult is what it's doing, basically, when it gets into this.
I'd just like to mention that misinformation is a type of mental virus.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. So this is why we're talking about this tonight, because a number of people were talking about this. We were asked about this, and people were questioning what this means and what it's all about. And so, you know, simply wanted to do this, talk about this tonight. And I would have talked it had Neil not called in, but having Neil call in helped to kind of prime the pump, so to speak, and get us on the topic. But Neil, I do want to thank you for calling in about this. Did you have any further thoughts before we get on to our other callers?
Just one last thing. If a person was concerned about hexagons being somehow anti-Semitic, or if you had anything to do with hexagons that promoted Israel, gasoline is about 0.5% benzene, and benzene is a hexagon.
Well, and
if you hate Israel, stop using gasoline.
Well, and another problem too, and I happen to think about this. I was thinking about this on the way up here tonight. In Revelation chapter 13, talks about the mark of the beast, and says it's the number of a man, which is what? Six. And what is probably one of the most common elements inside the human body? It's carbon, with its six-sided shape. And it's kind of fitting that the number of man is six, when carbon, the most common element, and without carbon, you would not be alive. Life could not exist. We are carbon-based life forms. That's why carbon dioxide is breathed out and becomes plant food, and plants take in carbon dioxide, and in the process of photosynthesis, they turn it into oxygen and sugar, hydrocarbons, which provide energy from the sun to power life on this planet. And then the carbon goes back into us when we eat the plants, or we eat an animal that ate the plant, and that carbon comes back into us. We use it as building blocks throughout our body, and we also exhale extra carbon that's produced in the energy consumption process, and it goes back to the plants. And without carbon dioxide, we would cease to exist pretty quick, wouldn't we?
Thank you very much, Pastor Al. God bless and good night.
Well, thank you, Neil. Thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that, and we probably spent a bit of time on this, but this is a subject that concerns me, so I appreciate Neil calling in about that. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number here is 888-677-9673, and I believe Nancy's been waiting the longest, so we'll get to Nancy next. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Wow, was I fascinated with your discussion. I'm the guilty one that brought that.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that. We just had a couple of them. So
I did not believe it. I did not believe it. It's from a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
He's always giving me literature.
Uh-huh.
He sticks it in my mailbox. I think he's a Christian. I just wish he would listen to the show. I wish there was some way he could listen to it. But I know he's asleep now.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, that's why I didn't attribute to anybody, because I didn't honestly know who it came from. We just found two copies of it laying on the table when we were cleaning up, and somebody saw it and asked me about it, and I looked at it, and I thought, well, this looks odd. And the more we started looking into it, the more we started having some problems with some of it. And there were some things in there which were interesting and all that, but that's why we brought it up, because everybody that looked at it was expressing some question over it, and then we brought it to church today, and several people looked at it and had questions, and we thought, well, maybe we ought to address this. So That's why.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I'm glad you did because
the idea of graphene oxide came from Pat Rulo.
Mm-hmm.
She's talked about it several times. Speak Up and Stay Alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And then it's repeated.
Yeah, and I had purposely not mentioned that it mentioned her program in there because I didn't know the motivation for why it was mentioned, all that. And it's like when Neil and I are talking mostly about some of the things that were said about it and some of the things that are attributed to graphene oxide that are really kind of not real because the magnetic properties of it. Graphene oxide can be magnetized slightly if you treat it with an iron containing compound, and I'm not talking about hemoglobin in your blood, and then it only becomes mildly magnetic. The human body in and of itself produces a very slight magnetic field. Your brain produces a magnetic field. Your heart, as your heart pumps, produces a magnetic field.
And then when you're talking about the Kundalini force and yoga and the thing is, my friend, he used to put a lot of this stuff in my mailbox, and a friend of his, and I know he's not listening to this, and I'm not giving you his name, a friend of his said, I'll call him Bill, it's not his name. Bill, you got to stop studying Satan. You got to stop, you should start studying God and get away from all this occultic stuff. And he told him, he said, this is New Age stuff.
Yes.
Now you know who in the radio show, she did not, that was not her.
Right, and that was not her part.
This is something
he
added this to the end.
Correct.
He's always adding stuff to his stand-up.
And that's another reason why I wasn't addressing who each part came from, because it was obviously cobbled together, as I said, from at least four sources.
He's always doing that. Yeah.
And of course, the danger, like I said, the very first impression that it gave to not knowing any of the background was, here's something that pulls you in with all this talk about this, that, and the other complicated things. It's hard to understand. You come away from it going, well, they must know what they're talking about. And now they're linking it to all this New Age stuff. This must be what it's doing. And it almost looks like it introduces you to the occultic teaching. And like I said, I don't know that that was the intent. It's just that's the way it appeared when you first saw it, which is one of the reasons why people asked about it.
Well, I'm really glad that you addressed it, but I just wish there was some way that he could hear, because you said this show is not going to be recorded.
Well, it is recorded. I mean, it'll be on our website, and it'll be on the station's podcast list. We're just not doing the YouTube because just having too much trouble with the YouTube, and I'm alone in the studio, and Craig's in there running the buttons and everything, and he doesn't do that phase of it because that's totally something that we usually do in here.
Okay, so somebody can hear it by going to your website.
Oh, yeah, it'll be on our website.
Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm the guilty one. But I just handed it to, since I was just handing it to Sally.
Mm-hmm.
I said, would you like to look at this? This is Ron Machinos, who's this person.
Yeah. No, I just, like I said, we found it and thought it needed to be addressed.
I'm so glad you addressed it, because I was really questioning, especially stuff about graphene oxide.
Mm-hmm.
And this person he found other sources of people that believe in this graphene oxide theory. And he just stuck them in my door yesterday. So he's always putting extra stuff. Well, thank you so much. Now, I just, my comments tonight, I'll try to make it real quick because I think this other was far more important. I'm so glad that you explained about Laverne Gore, because a friend of mine at church last Sunday night said, make sure you vote for Laverne Gore Tuesday. And I had no clue that there was even an election. So I just really appreciate you explaining all that, because I was totally, and I did vote. I was very happy. I went to the phone number, and then what would you say to someone that says, well, District 11 is almost all Democratic, and it's sort of a waste of time to vote for either one of the the Republicans. We know, any of the Republican candidates, we just know that the Democrat will win, either Chantel Brown or Tina Turner. I mean,
well, it'll be Chantel Brown, if the Democrat wins.
No, but you know, every vote counts, and I was just, you know, sort of annoyed.
Well, you know, I mean, our job is to be salt and light, to do whatever we can.
Right.
And, you know, if you don't vote for somebody, then you know that you're not going to do anything to help them win any possibility of winning.
Right.
And of course, one of the criticisms, and Laverne Gore mentioned this on our program, is that this is supposed to be a minority-majority district that basically would guarantee a minority representative from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned about the number of minority people who, because they were becoming successful in recent years, particularly under the Trump administration. In fact, I remember her saying one time that she heard something, having grown up in Cleveland, as a black mm-hmm. woman, she said she was hearing, and this I heard probably about three years ago, at least 3.5 years ago, that she's hearing something she never heard before, and that was black men saying that they were thinking about leaving the job they were in because they could move to a better job. And she said before they were just thankful to have a job. And because minority communities or families had become upwardly mobile, many of them moved out into the suburbs and into other areas so that many of these areas are not as predominantly minority communities as they were before. So there is some hope there. The other hope is, since Nina Turner and Chantel Brown engaged in such vicious attacks against each other, that there's the real possibility that somebody like Laverne Gore might be able to come in and, hey, God put President Trump in there despite the fact that nobody thought he could get there. He could put somebody like Laverne Gore in there. So we're praying.
I agree.
And, of course, after the redistricting, the 11th district will probably change, if not disappear, because Ohio is supposed to lose a district. So it may only be for a short time, but during that short time, there's the potential to do a lot of good. So hopefully keep praying for her.
Okay, I sure will. No, she'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
Super. That fabulous if she became, you know, 11th district representative.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, and thanks for allowing us to discuss that thing, even though we didn't know it was you. Appreciate that. Thanks, Nancy. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Terry, who's waited patiently through all of our conversation this evening. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, we managed to get you in. We got just a few minutes left, but we got you in here tonight.
You brought up, this is not what I was going to bring up tonight, but since you brought it up, I thought I would talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You brought up Adam and Eve.
Yes.
And the one thing, this is something I was wondering about, the one thing that Eve said, that we're not to touch it.
Right.
Die. And where does she get that idea from?
Well, that is a very good point, because God had said to them nothing about touching it. He just said, you cannot eat from it. And when he said not to eat from it, that was the condition. It gave them, you know, the opportunity to choose to obey God or disobey God. And as a consequence, when she was talking with the serpent, and of course it was the devil incarnated in the form of a serpent, and he said directly to her in Genesis 3, verse 1, at the end of verse 1, yea, hath God said, which is questioning. Did he really say this? Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So he's directly questioning what God said, getting her to try and doubt it. And that's where she responds, we may not eat of the fruit of the tree, or we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. A lot of people looked at that and said, well, see, this is the first case of adding to God's word, because he didn't say that. He just made the comment that not to to eat thereof. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this is what God said, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, in conversation with the devil, she's thinking, well, I can't even touch it or I'll die. So the devil continues to beguile her by saying, ye shall not surely die, in verse 4. And then he says in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Sounds a lot like that Kundalini force that we were talking about earlier, doesn't it? You'll be opened up, new awareness. Yeah, and so when she takes hold of the fruit, she doesn't die, because there was nothing, no prohibition against touching it. You could juggle with them if you wanted. You just weren't supposed to eat it. And so now she doesn't die, and now she thinks that the serpent is correct. The serpent said, well, you're not going
to over on that.
Yeah. And he said, you're not going to die. And so now she's believing the serpent rather than God. And she's been beguiled, and she directly disobeys God. Now, this is not what plunged humanity into sin, because it was Adam who saw what happened, and he willingly chose to side with Eve in her rebellion against God. And so,
why one man sin entered into the world.
Correct, correct.
And why one man dying on the cross took away that.
That's right. In the first Adam we died, in the second Adam, Christ, we live. And that's why Christ came, because somebody had to die. And say, well, wait a minute, didn't they live for hundreds of years after that according to the Bible? Yeah, but they died spiritually immediately. Immediately they died spiritually. They were separated from God. They lost the spiritual light that I believe coated them, covered them, and they discovered that they were naked until God clothed them. And a very interesting study. And thanks for bringing that up, Terry. And I'm going to have to let you go. We got less than 10 seconds. And I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. Thanks to our callers this evening. God bless. Have a great week. You've